This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
And welcome to Cool Playlist. I'm Eliza Skinner, and this is my podcast, where every episode we make a playlist for a specific life event, moment, or occasion, always with a special guest. And today we're making a playlist for driving home from an audition with my guest, Jamie Lee!
Hi!
Yay! Comedian, actress, writer, everything! Right?
Yeah!
Yeah.
I love that.
From Crashing, Girl Code, all kinds of stuff in between.
Yes.
Bunch of albums.
I have one album, one book.
One book, one
but
album.
But I stand by both of those things.
You got a bunch of albums in you, though.
Yeah. Know? They're coming.
That's shocking to me. I really thought that you had.
Oh, my God. That, like, really warms my heart that you think that.
Well, I remember when I was still doing improv and you were doing stand-up.
Yeah. And I have been doing it for a while now. I don't think I can do the, like, I'm green, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't, like, hide behind that now. Yeah. I'm like, okay, I'm fully in this.
You're supposed to know what you're doing.
I know. Yeah. Yes. Yes, there's no turning back at this point.
Yeah. You've been a fictional comic and a real comic also.
Yes,
at this point.
Yes, I have. It's true. Old Allie Reason.
Yeah.
Played her on Crashing, and
was it weird playing a comedian that's not you, the comedian?
Strangely, it wasn't that weird. The only time it was a little weird is in when we're trying to sort of craft her stand-up.
Yeah, her voice.
Because, yeah, so it was like, I would use like half of my old stuff, like really, really old jokes. But then I would also sort of
because you were writing her also.
Yeah, so then I would also like write new material for her. So it was kind of this mishmash where it's like, it's a little me, but old me.
Like if you had gone down a different path.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's a little more like alt-y and like one-linery, I think, which was mostly just because that was kind of what we ended up liking for her in the edit.
Those were the jokes of hers that made it.
Yep, exactly. Okay. Right. I wish I could say it was a very
her storytelling shows got cut out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No long bits or chunks. Just kind of the quick bites.
Isn't it nice how what we do sounds like vomit?
Yeah,
it's just bits and chunks.
Bits, chunks. I'm trying.
Leave them all over the stage.
Yeah, clumps. Mm-hmm. Skunk.
Spew jokes.
Yeah.
We're reaching.
Some spews. I just turned a verb into a noun.
So
there's some spew over there.
We were going to do this playlist like a year ago.
Yeah.
And you got held up at an audition.
Oh, was that what happened?
I think maybe that's what it's become in my memory.
I mean, that sounds on point.
But why did you choose this?
Because I think that... Well, I don't know if you feel this way, but sometimes when I'm like preparing for an audition, I really can't put any words in my head. I can't really listen to podcasts or anything because all I can do is sort of retain the lines that I've tried to memorize. Mm-hmm. So even listening to music on the way to an audition, it's like I feel like anything that goes into my head other than the lines will somehow like replace all this work that I did to get ready for this thing. So I think when I leave auditions, I'm very excited to kind of like exhale and be like, oh, I can just like be a person in my car now. Mm-hmm. I feel like music is a good way to kind of just like palate cleanse. Mm-hmm. Post
like a relief / coming back to yourself.
Yeah, and I think like we talked about this a little bit. I don't know if it matters if it's a great audition or a bad audition, because they all kind of just I mean, unless you book it, they all kind of just fade into the ether anyway.
Yeah.
And even before, well, before you find out you booked it, it still is in that ether place because you have no idea what's going to happen or how you were perceived or anything. So, yeah, I think that I created this playlist from just sort of a place.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And also trying to build your self-esteem back up because sometimes the auditions can be quite demoralizing.
Yeah.
Not even that that was the intention of the casting person, but sometimes there's just such a coldness in the room that it makes you sort of project your worst version of yourself onto yourself, even though that might not be how they perceive you at all.
Yeah. It's a pretty extreme version of that, or example of that social situation of like, you have no idea what you're walking into. You have no idea where that person's at, where that project is at, who got yelled at, what they got yelled at about.
Exactly.
Who has been cast or fired. So you have no idea. And you're walking into that situation to be judged.
Yes.
And it's so bananas.
Yeah. It's interesting because I was recently in a position where I was sort of doing some casting, not like scripted, but trying to figure out like a co-host for this thing I'm working on. And it is so true that it was enlightening to discover that everyone's great. Like truly everyone who came in was like great and like so special. And like, you really feel that. And then you start to realize it really comes down to, it's not like, it is such a specific thing and it has nothing to do with like talent almost. Yeah. And that's what's really hard to take and and understand for yourself.
Oh yeah.
Because you're like, oh, I'm sure, but for me it's personal. I'm sure they personally have a personal vendetta. But then when you realize that that's not how you view other people, you're like, why would it be different for yourself?
Yeah.
It's really,
but yeah, so, well,
really a mind stir.
It very much is.
Yeah.
It's like puzzle pieces fitting together. And it's not like, and no one
exactly
picks up a puzzle piece
is.
And is like, this is a good one.
Totally.
It's just like, does it fit?
It is puzzle piecing.
Yeah.
And also like, it truly could be like, you're like, oh, that person was fantastic. And then another person's like, no, like the way that they like, they lean forward too much and you're like, what? That's what you're looking at?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah.
And
no,
also that's a thing that you could say, hey, can you do it without leaning forward?
100%. It's like, just tell them to sit up straight. If that's really what it is, why write them off based on something so trivial?
That's the stuff that drives me nuts. Because you need to make choices, especially if this is like, if it's like an acting audition, you need to make choices. But if you make choices that are not the ones that they would have made, then that's why you get bumped.
Yes.
And it's like, well, but I did a good job at the acting.
Yeah,
I just acted it different than
what you...
Tell me something else.
What you... I can't read your mind. And also, it's not a good depiction of what's actually going to happen if you were to book the job. The director, like,
oh, yeah,
will work with you, will steer you, will ask for things, will challenge you.
You'll have someone working with you when you're reading, like another actor instead of someone just reciting lines.
Absolutely.
At you.
So it's one of those things where you're like, why isn't every audition two things? Why isn't every audition A, first round is always on tape? It's an industry standard. You have to tape. You don't get to go in for anybody. You don't get to have a personal connection with anyone. We have to do an initial round where we just see vibe wise if you're it.
I also love a self tape.
I do too, but I've never booked anything off of them, so I'm starting to feel soured.
Yes, I've booked multiple things off of.
Have you?
Yeah.
That is so good to hear.
Because, and I
that
used
gives
to.
Me hope.
I remember
that
when
gives
I first started doing them, I was like, these are trash. Someone gets this and throws it into a garbage can. They print my video out so they can throw it into a garbage can.
That's how I
know.
Feel. That's how it'll feel.
Like,
for
no
me.
One ever has
I'm like,
seen
no
it.
No one saw it.
There's been no eyes on
yeah.
it. And then I was so far down that road that I had this audition for a pilot and I was like, I'm not even going to do it. I'm just fuck it. And I went to a movie premiere. I got invited. So I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to do that. And then I got drinks afterwards. And I went with my friend Eli. And at some point he was like, hey, weren't you supposed to put yourself on a tape?
Oh my God.
For an audition? because I had like asked him to read with me at one point.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, I don't even care. Fuck all those things. And then I went home and was like, yeah, just do it. Right.
You
moved here to do it. Just do it.
Just do it.
And so I read it. I just waited. I left spaces for the other person to talk.
Wow.
Yep. Don't do any of the stuff
this
that I'm
is
saying.
Bold. Because
just
I've
take
also,
the story
but
as
I've
a whole.
Done that before and been like, that's the reason I didn't get it. I'm loving this story.
So
it is lighting a fire within me.
So I left spaces for the other person to talk. And I did it over and over. And that's when I realized, oh, the advantage of the self-tape is you get to do it as many times right. as you want and do it exactly the way that you
yes.
want. You don't ever walk out of a self-tape going, why did I say it like that? Like,
yeah.
Press record again. So I
also,
did
sorry, just a real quick sidebar. Leaving space makes total sense because a reader is not giving you the zhuzh that you need
no.
anyway.
No.
I mean, occasionally you get someone who clearly has acting experience and you're like, oh, thank you for making my job easier. But usually you're just getting a stale read anyway. So why not leave the space? That's essentially what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, I think most of us don't because it kind of looks like you look like a dingbat when someone just watches it not knowing what for, but whatever. So,
but they've seen it all.
Yeah. So I did that. And then on the final take, as I'm doing all of that, my cat starts bothering me, just like meowing for food and kind of bumping around my legs. And he's like, this is not a sane thing that you're doing here. What's happening? And so the scene ends. And I was playing like a network executive who was kind of not the most together person.
Okay, okay.
So I do the last line and the cat's like, meow, meow. And I'm just staring at the camera like, oh my God, what am I doing? And then I turned it off and I sent it in and I booked that. And then when we wrapped, the director was like, hey, that tape you sent was so funny. You know, that part with the cat, that's why we booked you.
Oh,
and I was like, are you
God.
Serious? And he was like, yeah, that cat, it was just like so perfect. And I was like, yep, okay, well, I'm glad I didn't take that off. Because to me, it was funny. To me, it was like so weird and funny and like, what the fuck am I even doing?
I do love a good like pet comes in.
Right?
Like, yeah, and leaning into it versus yeah. being like, oh, it's not perfect. It's like, no, it just got better.
Yep. So that was the first time that I booked off of
that's
tape.
Amazing
but and then I've booked a few things off of that
because
I get real nervous in the rooms.
I do, you know? Too well, that's my whole yeah. I'm like, by the way, I haven't booked in rooms either. I mean, I did for Crashing, but there was obviously like a level of comfort, I think.
You
there
knew everybody in that room.
I did know everybody in that room, and that casting director is amazing. Her mm-hmm. name's Gail Keller, and she is the other time I went in for her, I didn't book it, but I felt great and I got really good feedback, and I was like, oh, she has a magic touch with actors. She mm-hmm. really, and she works with a lot of comedians, and you can tell, like, she just gets you. Mm-hmm. So she really draws it out of you. But oh man, what was I going to say in response to that? Yeah, I get so nervous in auditions, and the thing that really sucks is that I go in super prepared. I memorize everything, and no matter how hard I memorize, I will forget it in the room. And I hate that. And that's out of nerves. And yeah. I don't know how to correct it. If anyone out there has any hot tips, feel free to message me because it's killing me.
Yeah,
all of it. I won't forget all of it, but I definitely like look down at the page and I'm like, oh, where was it? Like, I have those moments.
I think a little looking down at the page is
yeah.
the worst thing in the world.
It's not.
Especially, you know, it depends on how much time you have with
then
it.
Then you also hear these theories of like, but like go in like so off book that you like don't even need your paper. And you're like, oh,
but
what is wrong with my memory? I can't do it.
But for every one of those, there's those stories like, oh, you know, so-and-so totally forgot his audition
like
time and didn't
tape.
Learn any of it. And then he walked in and took a shit on the floor and was like, what are the lines? And they're like,
I
you
know.
Get the part.
I know. You hear every possible story from he went in and took a shit to like they came in and, you know.
They were dressed as they had grown a beard.
Yes, exactly.
For the part and rode a horse in.
Meticulously dressed as the mm-hmm. character. Yeah, I mean,
well, let's
knows?
Get into this playlist.
Okay,
we'll keep talking
it.
About all of it as we
oh,
go.
I mean, let's get into some songs.
The first song on it is Yours. Do you want to
oh, yes.
introduce that?
Okay, the first song on this playlist is Road to Nowhere by Talking Heads.
Off of Little Creatures.
And we know. seen, and we're not little children, and we know what we want, and the future is certain. Give us time to work it out.
I was kind of surprised that this is the first time anyone's put this on a playlist.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I love it for so many reasons.
What are they?
I love the idea of Road to Nowhere. It feels symbolic of, like putting all of your faith in other people to give you opportunities. And it's like, for what? And letting your self-esteem sort of like waver at the hand of somebody else giving, you know, gracing you with like, you booked it or whatever it is. It just kind of is a good reset message of like, what are we doing? Like, yeah. Let's just, all of this is, you know, in a bleak, but also kind of bittersweet, great way. Like, this is all play pretend.
Yeah. I mean,
literally life like is kind of meaningless.
Yeah.
I mean, it's meaningful, but you have to find the meaning.
Yeah.
In it.
And you have to decide what the meaning is.
And you have
is.
To decide that it's meaningful, because truly you could argue that it, nothing matters. Yeah. And there's just something.
And that's why there's chaos, because people made different decisions.
Yes, exactly. And I just like also, yeah, I also like that this song, sort of the, I don't know, like music terms, but like the beat and the melody of it kind of feels like a journey. And he mm-hmm. keeps saying like Road to Nowhere. Like, you really feel like you're road tripping as you listen to this song. And
yeah, it feels like
it has momentum, and it gives me momentum in my life to listen to it.
To me, it feels like a cartoon car on like slow rolling hills.
Oh, that totally. Yes.
Yeah.
And it has a little bit of like a march to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really.
Like, maybe one of those cars that kind of like puts along. Like,
yeah. It also was in, I believe, the opening scene of Reality Bites, which is still one of my favorite. I think it is my favorite movie of all time.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, it's there's two favorite movies, but it's one of them. It's that and Rosemary's Baby. I
love that cross section.
Yeah, I really have diversified interests. But yeah, I love that movie. I just love the relationships in that movie. I love how 90s it is. And I love when Ethan Hawke says to Winona Ryder, honey, all you have to be by the age of 23 is yourself. There's just a lot of like great nuggets. All the characters are super defined. And
what do you think of the whole like Ethan Hawke, Ben Stiller thing? Did she choose right? I feel like that's one of those things that people love to rework.
Yeah, she chose right. She chose right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but Ben Stiller was like, there really was no right. I think that was kind of what I loved about it, is that like, you know, maybe back in the 90s, like he was kind of more of a doofus, mm-hmm. I think, but like, or he played a doofus in that role. Like, this mm-hmm. is kind of like, he's like a well-meaning douche.
Yeah.
But
he's
now,
a dork.
Yeah. But as we're older, we're like, yeah, but that guy like has money, and like Ethan Hawke's character like stole Snickers from a convenience store and she still chose him. It's like,
well,
that's
also,
just such a 23-year-old decision.
Ethan Hawke's so like arrogant in it.
He's also disgusting.
Yeah, he's
like,
gross.
He is so greasy in that movie. Like, it's
okay,
not
to be
sexy,
fair, everyone's greasy in that movie.
Everyone's greasy. Except okay, that's a great point.
Except Ben Stiller and maybe Janine Garofalo.
She was well kept. She like was a manager of the Gap mm-hmm. and had to like rally for work.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
everyone in it was just like a commercial for dry shampoo. That whole movie.
We didn't have that back then.
No.
God,
so,
oh, how
God,
middle school would have
it.
Been so different.
Yes.
Ooh, boy.
Yeah.
Very different. Yeah. And to be fair, I don't agree with at all. Like, anytime the concept of like, you picked the wrong guy from old movies, I always find it a little bit annoying, even though I asked you that. Because I
do love that you asked it, because I didn't know that was a hot debate, but it sounds like you've heard it before.
He's one of those characters that I think that people sort of try to be like, wait, was he really that bad? They acted like he was so terrible.
Yeah.
But I think that, like female characters should get to, like, they should pick the one that they want to fuck. And often
and
women
did.
Are expected to pick a good one.
Yeah.
Like, no, the men aren't expected to do that. Like,
also,
you pick the one you want to fuck.
I also think that Ethan Hawke's character is someone who has so much potential. And that was sort of what the movie was about. Like, this guy's a genius. He just, like, doesn't have his shit together. And I think that him and Winona, or Winona's character was Lelaina. I think that Lelaina would have pulled that out of him. I think that they balance each other.
That's a lot of responsibility on her.
It is, but they're young enough to where I think they can kind of abuse each other a little bit and they'll come out on the other side in a really great way.
Great, that sounds healthy. Good. I'm so glad. More advice you should not take on today's podcast. So the next song.
Okay. Coming in at number four. Are we doing a countdown?
No, just...
Okay, coming in at number two
is The Gambler by Kenny Rogers.
Ooh.
On a warm summer's eve.
I fucking love this song.
Ooh. Train bound, I don't know this song.
What?
No.
Met up with a gambler.
Okay,
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it.
Okay, I should have let yours play longer because I'm going to let this play a little bit. Staring. Listen to the story.
Out the window at the darkness. Boredom overtook us, and he began to speak. He said, "Son, I've made a life out of reading people's faces and knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes.
God,
so if you
lyrics.
Don't mind my saying,
whew.
I can see you're out of aces. For a taste of your whiskey, I'll give you some advice." So I handed him my bottle, and he drank down my last swallow. Then he bummed a cigarette and asked me for a light. And the night got deathly quiet, and his face lost all expression. Said, "If you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the deal is done."
Ooh, yeah. So that's The Gambler. It keeps going. You know, it's a whole song.
Sure.
More happens. But that advice from The Gambler that keeps coming back, that, like, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run, which I think of often in many circumstances. It's good relationship advice. Ooh. And I think it's also very important entertainment industry advice. Like, you got to know when to care about stuff and know when to just not fucking care about
that.
Like, if you can walk away, walk away.
Yeah.
And if you can just release yourself from that being part of your brain and heart, walk away.
Oof.
And
that song, like, what genre is that? It's kind of country, kind of...
Well, it's country disco.
Folk. Okay.
I mean, it's country. Yes. And there's more of it on this playlist.
Okay. Wow.
It's not really... I mean, I think it counts as country disco once it kicks in that, like, moving, like...
So country disco came about in the 70s?
Yeah.
So that was, like, a thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's, yeah, that just, I mean, it is what it sounds like, kind of a combo of country.
I like
and
it. Yeah, I don't listen to, like, straight country, really. Well, I like old country, so I guess that falls
into
that.
Yeah, this has some of that
old country.
Because, like, Islands in the Stream, for instance, would be a very...
Yeah, okay.
You don't know that one?
No,
Islands in the Stream, that is what we are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, from Ghetto Superstar?
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
You mean my one of my all-time faves, Ghetto Superstar? That's what I heard.
Yeah. Yeah. I could make a whole playlist of just this song over and over. This is one of those songs that I can listen to on repeat.
Mm. My final song is that.
Yeah.
Where I could just keep it going on loop all day.
Yeah. It's weird. Those are the moments where I'm like, am I having a stroke? Am I losing my mind? I just need to hear this song over and over. But if I didn't hear it, I would be doing it in my brain. And so I'm like, I think that's take the pressure off my brain.
Today I went for a run and I just randomly select, like, workout playlists on Apple Music.
Trust those people?
I just kind of like when I don't, A, know the songs, or B, I like when they just are like, this is great for working out. It doesn't have to be like a quality song. It just has to have, like, the right tempo. So anyways, I clicked on a playlist called the Happiness Playlist. Mm-hmm. And I was like, great, who doesn't love being happy, especially when you're working out?
I mean, grumps, like a- I guess. Grumps, crabs.
Yeah.
Cranks.
Grinches.
Grouches.
But yeah, so I clicked on this playlist and then I don't know the song. It's called, I guess it's not Happy, the Pharrell mm-hmm. song. It's another song that has Happy in the chorus.
Is it If You're Happy and You Know It?
It's not. Hands? It's something else.
Is Should it Happy Birthday?
I almost want to play it for you, but no, it's another song. I don't know who sings it, whatever. But the point is, so it starts with a song that has Happy in the title. And then I realized like probably 15 minutes into my run, I was like, I'm still listening to this same song, and it is a full like half hour mashup Whoa. Of this song mashup like yeah. that just keeps going. And so, yeah, I was like, oh, I'm like going insane. I've been listening to the same song that I don't even
Where
like that
I?
Much
How
that has the word happy
running?
In it for half an hour. It's like, it's maddening.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I finally changed over and listened to some Dua Lipa.
The rules.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. She's great. Anyway.
She is. Yeah. And I, as I said, I feel like this, like when I feel bad after an audition, it's like, yeah, you know what? Sometimes that's just, you just got to walk away. There's not, it's not worth it to even think about like, what did I do wrong? What should I have done better? You know what? Just fucking fold them and
yeah.
run.
Yeah.
Love
Give
that. Yourself the gift. Next
Love
song
it.
Is yours.
Okay. Okay. Coming in at number next is,
I like that. That's the next t-shirt.
Okay. I chose, this might be a bit of a hard sell. It's the Mariah Carey Christmas song.
That's not even the name of it, but that's what you called it. It's All I Want for Christmas Is You. Jamie, why?
Okay. It is because there is like this beginning is so dramatic that like you can't possibly think of anything else but this song. Like it takes you, first of all, it's like, why are you listening to a Christmas song when it's not Christmas? So there's sort of, it jars you out of your mood a little bit because it's like, wait, this is so disorienting. We already had the holidays.
This is your smelling coffee beans in a
yes,
perfume
in a perfume
place.
Store. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just like, you might not even listen to the whole song. Honestly, if you add it to the playlist, it's just to kind of snap you out of your cyclical compulsive thoughts post audition.
Oh man, when you can't stop going over the lines after an audition,
exactly,
that is the worst. I'm
or
so
like,
mad
oh,
at my
I
brain then.
Yes,
like,
or
I don't need these words now.
Right, exactly. So I think that this is really a jolt to the system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I love this as a karaoke song off season.
Ooh,
like you pull this out June. You know?
Oh my God.
People are like, what? That's fun. You do
crazy.
It around the holidays. People are like, enough.
Well, because you hear it so much around there. It's becoming, it's too much.
It's too
much. I think it used to be like, oh yay, I love that song. Like
well,
you're excited to hear it.
Now
it's constant.
I feel like it had some second wind and I don't even think that it was Love Actually. I think it was after that.
I think it was
for
after
some
that.
Reason. People started playing it so much
it's
that it wore
number
it out.
One song you hear during it's I don't hear a song more than that. Like it's yeah. definitely beat out like Jingle Bells or whatever the old Christmas classics were. Like you'd only hear this song.
Yeah, I get sad for a song when I feel like it's threadbare.
Mm.
When you hear it too much so it doesn't have that sparkle anymore.
Right.
It's not the song's fault. It
it's
didn't
not
do
the
anything.
Song's fault. I do think it gets a little bit of its luster back when you hear it off season.
Yes. Exactly.
Which is why it's in the playlist.
Mm-hmm. And I like the theory of just sensory overload
yeah.
to right your ship
right
back to where you want
it's
it to be.
It's a little bit of like lavender gelato mm-hmm. post garlicky.
You got a
steak.
Fancy
I don't know
places.
What I'm saying.
Wait, no, never mind. No, you don't. Garlicky steak.
Garlicky steak.
Oh wow!
Ooh,
I don't
you've never
know
tried
the cuisine.
Garlicky steak at Sizzler. It's
oh okay,
no,
it's a Sizzler thing.
No,
got it.
It's
got
not.
It.
I've never
yes.
been to Sizzler.
I have. Not
I just
either.
Want to say on record, I've never been.
Neither
have
I. Neither have I. I've never been there. And I have not. Had
I have taken out from there. Sure.
Sure.
I've
yeah.
Had it
I mean, everyone.
Yes,
has, yeah.
But
absolutely.
I've never, like
I,
sat down.
You, know, you need a baked potato. You need a baked
yeah.
potato. Yeah. For some reason, that reminded me of. when I was a kid, I used to go to this place called Piccadilly Cafeteria with my grandparents.
Oh, it was one of those like British.
Oh no. Well, yeah, I guess from the, but it wasn't. It was in some mall in Virginia.
Mall in Virginia.
Wait, is that your British accent?
Yes.
You sound kind of like a vampire.
Nosferatu.
Oh, okay. It's a little more. I hear it.
It's not great.
No,
but I mentioned that I haven't booked off a self tape.
It's a little spooky, is the thing. But there's, you know, there's a lot of dungeons in the history of England. So yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was like one of those cafeteria style places where you got stuff and your little tray, and they always had cubes of Jello with whipped cream on top.
Oh yeah,
and hush puppies. And as a little chubby kid, I loved a dish of hush puppies.
Should be sold everywhere.
That, you know what? That I'm calling it next trendy hipster food. Hush puppies.
How? I mean, it should have started yesterday. Like, right? Where are they? Are the hush puppies?
Have you been to that hush puppy place in Silver Lake?
Stop.
I'm kidding, but doesn't it sound like something that you would believe? Highland Park has an amazing hush puppy place.
It's actually not a place. It's like a cart.
Yeah. So you get the hush puppies and they have all these dips.
Wednesdays at 8 a.m. But like,
they do like
fuck
a poutine
it. Have it for
thing
breakfast.
With it. They'll put it on top and so you can get like toppings.
And they also do like a, it's called a hush poo, and it's half hush puppies, half poutine. And they're really good together, honestly. It's a hush poo. It's also.
It's a dog breed too, but don't talk about that.
But don't talk about that. Yeah. Because they don't like purebred or whatever.
Yeah, adopt
lab,
and chop.
Lab. Yeah, exactly. Okay, thank you. You're better at improv than me. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, but you're a better joke writer than me. So
together we make a great team.
Hush-a-poo.
Okay.
Yes. Also, but back to the Jell-O. The Jell-O was gross, but I loved the whipped cream. And I think it took my grandparents a while to figure out I would get that just to eat the whipped cream off of it.
Okay. I love that you brought this up because I also went to a cafeteria. There's a very famous cafeteria in Dallas called the Highland Park Cafeteria. And I, you know, at the
You're
end of the
Dallas,
line.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I didn't say that. Just in Dallas, I go to cafeterias there. But yeah.
I travel the world going to cafeterias.
Yes. It's a new show I'm working on for the Food Network. Anyways.
Someone would buy that for sure.
They really would.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, we've got two ideas to sell now.
Like, really, aside from like the school cafeteria, like, restaurant cafeterias are kind of mind-blowing.
And the dynamics.
Yes.
There.
Just the whole, like, get your tray.
Because,
like,
I mean, it's not quite a... I guess it's not quite a buffet. Like, a buffet, I think of, like, serving yourself.
It's not quite a buffet.
But at a cafeteria, things are already on their little... They're portioned. They're on little plates and stuff.
Especially the desserts.
Yes. And so, you can get them to carve things for you.
Yes, there's carving, there's scooping, there's dicing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yeah, so I was really fixated on the look of the green Jell-O at this cafeteria, and I would always order it, and then I would like, I didn't even want to taste it. It wasn't even like a curiosity on that level. It was like I wanted it on my tray near my food because it looked beautiful.
Yeah.
And so I'd always get it, and then my mom would be like, Jamie, you don't eat that. It was a pile of emeralds. Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, you don't eat it. But the crazy thing is she still let me get it every time. And I was like, why is she falling for this again?
I think
what a fucking idiot.
I mean, that's parenting, right?
I guess.
Like, she tried. She had a heart-to-heart with you about it. She was like, girl, you don't eat this.
And she would get German chocolate cake, and I would eat it. I would eat her food. And it's like, I just can't believe that she, like, got scammed by me for so many years.
Is it possible that you threw a fit one time and you have forgotten that part?
Okay. That's an interesting point you bring up. Wait, so there was also at Baskin Robbins, they used to have this flavor. I still don't remember it. I think it was based on some kind of alcohol, but the color of the ice cream was like this really beautiful, sort of like a seafoam look, lighter than a mint chip.
Okay.
So it had this really sort of soft, like eggshell, like baby's breath.
Like maybe a pistachio?
Vibe. It wasn't pistachio. It was a different flavor, and they don't carry it anymore.
Oh.
I want to say it was like, I think it was based on some kind of alcohol. So maybe like a, I honestly don't know. Creme de menthe. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But anyways, it tasted
like gold
terrible.
Lager.
Honestly, it was like a bad tasting.
It was
tasting.
A gin. It was a Hendrix.
It probably because the ice
Sapphire.
Cream did not taste good.
Sure.
And I would always get it. And my dad was like, Jamie, like, you don't like this. Quit. And he kept ordering it.
I was the kid who preferred ice cream in a cup.
Same.
So, oh, really?
Yes.
I feel like in hindsight that makes me like a child librarian.
That was definitely old soul. An old soul move.
I remember
now
people,
I love a good cone though.
Sure.
I actually only go cone now.
Do you like a sugar or a wafer?
Waffle.
Waffle.
Yeah.
Me too.
Sugar cones are terrible.
I'm not going to the cone for sweetness. I got ice cream here to do that.
Yeah.
I want it for a crunch, for a lightness.
But also a waffle cone is used as a topping in a lot of places. Mm. So it's mm-hmm. basically like your ice cream is encased in topping. Because like I've been to certain like yogurt places where they have crumbled waffle cone as a possible
option. Well,
that's once
you're like an addict.
Yeah.
Once you're like too far gone.
Right. There's no coming back.
Nobody does that in a waffle cone, do they?
No, I don't think they offer waffle cone.
They'll cut you off there?
They don't offer waffle cones. They only have waffle cone toppings.
Oh.
Yeah.
So something happened to their waffle cones.
They just crumpled them. Yeah.
I brought up the cone thing to say, I remember being pressured at a Baskin Robbins to get one of those clown guys, and I find them very disturbing.
Oh my God, I haven't thought about the clown guys.
I do not like those clown guys.
Long.
They are upside down. They've got bad icing faces that are too cold. Like that's not no. I don't. And I mean,
is that a cake or I forget?
No, our place, it was ice cream. It was like a scoop of ice cream with a cone on top of
the hat
and the little icing face on it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Look,
and the icing's never good.
I'm going to say, I know a lot of people are like legit scared of clowns. Sure. But I think a lot of other people have been tipped into it by bad clown representation.
Oh,
because you get like an ugly, weird drawing of a clown or icing ice cream. Clown thing.
Yes.
Monstrosity.
Yes.
They're going to be like, ugh, gross. Clowns are gross.
And they taste terrible.
Yeah.
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 Icing was always really bad, and you're right. It was really cold.
Yeah.
Because they were like in the freezer section, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't make them for you fresh.
Nope.
No,
they didn't. Now,
no,
that would have been
not.
A whole different thing if they were like, would you like us to assemble a clown? Would you like to name him?
Customizing your clown.
Yes. I would probably go for like a goth
clown.
Huge
business for them. Ooh, I would have definitely. I mean, I was all about like pinks and purples. I would have definitely had like a princess pony clown.
I remember often getting the bubblegum flavored ice cream from this like local place.
Oh, maybe it was good.
No, it was bubblegum flavored. It was disgusting.
I had cotton candy flavor though, and it was delicious.
Well, that's different.
Have you ever had the cotton candy flavor?
Uh-uh.
Oh yeah, you got to get on that train. It's really good.
Let's get back on the train of the playlist.
Okay.
Yeah. So speaking of country disco, High Horse by Kacey Musgraves.
Oh, I bet you think you're John Wayne.
Can you turn me up?
Showing up and shooting down everybody. Yeah. You're classic in the wrong way. And we all know the end of the story.
This came out, last year? I love it.
Yeah, I'm into this.
Everybody else.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
So I also love the like, you think you're so, you think you're so great. You come in here and you're like saying yes and no to different people. And they're like, you're on the list. You're off the list. Why don't you get off your fucking high horse?
Yeah.
Obviously, I think this is a good post-audition song.
Like, absolutely.
I don't care what these people think of me.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you think you get to decide? Yeah, in that room, on that project, I get to go home and decide what I eat for dinner. You don't get a say.
You know? Taking the control back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that. I also, that's another one. That's a definite like genre bending. It was poppy, but also
very
a little
poppy.
Folky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know her.
She's real like.
Other songs are good?
Well, yeah. I mean, she just won a whole bunch of Grammys.
Oh, see, I don't follow the Grammys.
Yeah, I don't follow them super well, but she got memed, so.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, so that.
Okay. What was her meme?
Her being surprised at winning.
Oh.
She kind of went through a whole gamut of emotions of like, no, what?
Oh.
Me? Oh, my God. Yay. You know.
Oh, cute. Okay.
Yeah, so
we like her.
It was very cute.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just. This is one that I'm rocking out to a lot in my car.
Cool. Yeah, it sounds like a great driving song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's also what's important for this playlist.
Yes.
They got to be good driving songs.
Yeah, we do a lot of that.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of car time.
Yeah.
Do you listen to music, like, by yourself? Like, not on wheels.
Like just listening,
like
to
just
music?
Like on land, yeah, in your room. Okay,
I do.
I love on land.
Not
I
on
drive.
Sea.
I drive in. I ride a boat to work.
I do. I listen to music a lot, and you know, a lot of them have been things that I've used for playlists, like wake up, get out of bed, like coming home after a difficult day, secret makeout list.
Ooh.
Playlist. You know.
Yeah, yeah, I do have one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're married.
Yeah, but I have one from like a while ago.
Okay.
That's like
when
still
you still kissed
my,
people.
Yeah, when I was like rampant. But yeah, I do have one that's on my computer. It'd probably be the exact same if I made it today. Like it's all the same songs that kind of.
Yeah.
Make me have the feels.
Well, there's a few that have been removed from mine.
Oh, because they remind you of people?
As of late. Oh, no, because they remind me of the people who made them. And
oh, gross.
We've got a bunch of bad dudes out there.
Yeah, bye, dudes.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a bad season for R&B.
Yeah.
As far as what we feel comfortable.
Oh, those dudes.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, like, artists who we now know are terrible people.
Yes.
For instance, last night I was driving home and put on the radio. I listen to the radio a lot also.
Do you?
Yeah. I used to listen to the pop top 40 radio a lot, and I don't anymore. Now I'm just like oldies all the time. But oldies now are anywhere from like mid-aughts to like maybe mid-70s.
Yeah.
It's not.
That's wild.
Doesn't feel that old to me. But they played The Way You Make Me Feel by Michael Jackson. Yeah. And I was kind of like looking around my car trying to make eye contact with other people who I was by myself. And I was like, we're okay with this? What's happening? What are we doing?
Yeah.
We don't
Can
like this
I say
anymore.
I was never a fan of his.
Oh, I was.
So it was very easy for me to let go. Because I was kind of like, yeah, everybody get on my train.
Yeah, that's nice.
It is nice. But I feel bad for people who, like one of my friends, her whole family moved here from India. And like Michael Jackson and ABBA were like, that connected them to American culture immediately. Like they listened to it.
ABBA's not even American.
I don't know what it was. Oh, ABBA's not American? Where are they from? Sweden?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So maybe just Michael Jackson.
Well, I mean, Western culture.
Western. Yeah. But anyways, yeah. But she like they would like play him in the living room and like the whole family would dance. And it was like this thing that everybody in the family, it was like the connective tissue for their family. So it's been very hard for her.
Oh, I was a big Michael Jackson fan. Like
were
a real big Michael Jackson
too?
Fan. No,
okay.
It was part of my not even my childhood, but high school rebellion, because when I was a kid, My parents were very judgy about pop culture. So it wasn't like there was a lot of stuff that I wasn't necessarily not allowed to listen to, but they would like make fun of it a lot and be like, that's bad. And like maybe like I wouldn't be allowed to like play it in front of other people because my parents would be like, yuck, we don't hear that. And they would make fun of how people loved Michael Jackson when I was a little kid. So I was like, yeah, what a bunch of dorks. And then when I got to high school, I was like, I love him. I love Michael Jackson. Even though like he had already gone through at least one trial.
Right.
But again, he had been found innocent and we all were happy to conveniently grasp that.
It was a different time.
Yeah.
Such a different time.
But yeah, I used to do Michael Jackson impersonations in my talent shows with no blackface. That was completely unnecessary with any kind of Michael Jackson impersonation. I collected memorabilia. I have 3 copies of Thriller. Wow. One is a picture disc.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, he was like a part of you.
Yeah, he was a big part of me.
Wow.
But by the time this documentary came out, like it had been, if that had happened in high school, that would have been really upsetting to me. Oh yeah, I had a zine called K.O.P. Cop,
oh
King of Pop.
God.
Yeah.
Wait, you were like a
really
Jackson
into-
head.
I read Moonwalker. I owned Moonwalker. I was really into
him. Oh my God.
By the time this documentary came out, I had incrementally gotten to the point where I was like, yes, of course. Of course.
Yeah.
There is no other adult that we say, like we talked about this.
Oh yeah, we talked about it.
There's no other adult that we say, oh yeah, that's a grown up man who sleeps with kids because he's childlike.
Because he didn't have a childhood.
That's okay. Like that's not a classification for things that just happen to people.
That's never been a thing. Oh, he worked his whole childhood, so you know now as an adult he like loves being with children. It's like
who else?
Are so many people who worked as children,
and
that's and not
none
a
of
characteristic.
Them are having sleepovers.
None.
We One thing that you pointed out about that documentary as opposed to the R. Kelly documentary that I thought was really interesting was that in the R. Kelly documentary, they used a lot of his music and it helped like rejuvenate that music. It got a lot of airplay. And it got a lot of like plays on Spotify and streaming.
Well, and even when you're watching it, you're like, oh my God, this piece of shit. Damn, Ignition's a good song.
Yeah.
Like you're just constantly like, fuck him. Shit, this is good.
Yeah. And there's some other cuts I liked a lot too. But
frustrating.
In the Michael Jackson one, they resisted that. They didn't play his music.
He's great.
Which was such an important choice.
Yeah.
Because it didn't remind you of the things that you love about
there
him.
There wasn't even like really flashes of like his wealth or his lifestyle.
Or
his dancing. It was really just like interviews and aerial shots of cities.
Yeah.
Well, and Neverland Ranch.
I mean, a thing that we like, I'm sure you've been asked a lot. I've been asked a lot to talk about Me Too in comedy, sexual assault, yep. blah, 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 which I wrote an article about it after I was asked to write an article about it. And, about the men who were doing the stuff. And I told them I would only do it if I could, rather than write about the men who were doing that, write about women. Because I'm so tired of us discussing these famous abusers. And I think that documentary is the same sort of, like, we've discussed Michael Jackson to fucking death.
Yeah, we know he's successful. We know who he was.
We know about the Elephant Man bones.
We
know about Bubbles.
Yes.
And I think another weird thing about it is that, kind of what you were saying about your friend, that it wasn't that they all loved that they just loved listening to the music. It was that this person represents so much. This is a hero.
Yeah.
And that is what's being taken away from people. And I think that's why it's this weird struggle.
Right. And that's what's also so horrifying is when in the after Oprah special, I think it was Wade who said, you know, the grooming started before I even met him.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, he groomed
America, the world.
He groomed the world.
Yeah.
So that's really what people are dealing with. It's like, oh, you know, he was a Disneyland, you know, what was that? The Thriller experience. Like, where you go and have you done that?
I remember seeing Captain EO.
Oh, is that what it is?
Well,
that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
What is it called?
Captain EO?
Okay. I'm not a Disney
head. It was a movie that he made with...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But like even that, it's like he, you know, he's one of these, I mean, I won't say the only, but kind of the only in my head right now coming to mind, person who is like meant for people of all ages in this really deliberate way. Mm-hmm. And when you realize why, it's really hard to accept.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I think it's one of the many ways in which
Free Willy. It's like that's a fucking kids movie. It's all gross.
Pop culture.
It's all gross. Not that Free Willy was like great for really. I don't remember loving that movie, but
In many ways it has gaslit.
It was a punch.
Us.
Yes,
the pop culture gaslight. Because
yes.
like those are things that you know. You're like, this is weird. But then it's like, no, Free Willy. No. Everything's fine.
I know.
The Moonwalker video game. Come on, it's all okay.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that some of this will encourage all of us to trust our guts. Because I think that it takes a lot of work to be disengaged from that gut instinct. And it's not good.
Yeah.
Anyway, more songs.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Palette Cleanser.
Ooh.
This next one is yours.
Wait, this one's mine? Oh, yeah. You just did one. Okay. Mine is Digging for Fire by the Pixies.
Off of Bossa Nova, Dig for Fire. Now, I know you're a big Pixies fan.
I am. I can't fully remember why I chose this song. And I'm trying to recall.
Because you did pick it a year ago.
I did pick it a year ago. I think that the main reason I chose this song was just because I really love it. It is kind of like a sing-along song. Like once you like know the lyrics, you can't not. I guess every song is a sing-along song, but this one really is, especially the way he kind of like calls out in the beginning and it's kind of spoken. There's like I don't know. There's something that feels very live about this song. Like, it feels like you're at the concert. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, that kind of takes me out of my head a little bit. Almost like the production value and, like, yeah, the live quality kind of makes me feel transported.
Mm-hmm. When did you get into the Pixies?
I got into the Pixies probably, like, late middle school, early high school. And I was also a big Frank Black fan. I saw him live a couple of times, and he played some Pixie songs as well. So I was really thrilled to see that. And, like, Teenager of the Year is, like, one of the best albums I think I've ever heard ever. And he's just, like, yeah, they're just great. I don't even really know what to say. I read their, like, oral history. It was super interesting. Mm. And all the offshoots, like the Breeders, I think mm-hmm. I saw them live and they were amazing. I don't know. I just, like, there's something very interesting about this, like, early 90s Boston indie scene.
I wonder, though, if that's also part of what works for you about this, for this sort of a playlist where it's like, I'm, like, reminding you of you and, like,
ooh,
a younger you and, like,
yes,
really authentically yourself instead yes, of and also, who someone else, like a character or who someone else wants you to be.
And their career is so interesting because they are so famous, but also still have this kind of niche audience, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Like, not everybody, like, everyone knows them, but not everybody knows them.
Yeah, everybody knows, like, Here Comes Your Man.
Yeah, or, like, the song that was in Fight Club. But yeah, I just love it. I don't know. Yeah. But I swear I have better justifications for the other songs on my list.
This one. Okay. All right. Not going to overwork it then. I'll go on to the next song, which is Pound the Alarm by Nicki Minaj.
Ooh.
I may have put this on a playlist before, but it deserves to be on this one.
Cool.
It's one that I like to sing along with when I'm driving home.
Yo, what I gotta do to show these girls that I own them? Some call me Nikki and some call me Roman. Skeezer, please, I'm in Ibiza. Giuseppe's and not even my own sneakers. Sexy, sexy, that's all I do.
If you need a bad bitch, let me call up you. I'm someone in them little mini skirts as hell. I see some good girls.
This is a song that, like, when I sing along to it, especially if I am coming home from an audition, I'm like, I'm a bad bitch,
yeah,
no muzzle, and will, like, get to the point where I'm gonna cry.
Wow.
Because I'm like, that's right, you know what? People can decide whatever they want to decide, and you can try to, like, fit into boxes for this, but I'm a fucking bad bitch, no muzzle, at the end
Ooh,
of the day.
The no muzzle is really powerful.
Mm-hmm. Bottle
yeah.
sip, bottle guzzle.
And she has another song, I think it's called I'm the Best.
That sounds like a Nicki Minaj song.
Yeah, it's just called I'm the Best, and it's about being the best, and it's just really uplifting. I think she has that quality in a lot of her songs.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like mainlining confidence. There's that part in, I think it's in Anaconda, where she, the, like, breakdown where she's just, like, making noises.
Oh.
Is that, it's, I think it's like, like, boiled down Nicki Minaj, where,
like,
she's just like
noises. What are we talking about?
She's like, I can't do it. She's like trilling, like rolling her R's, and like, just like laughing and stuff.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
Is that a good impression?
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Great.
But I feel like what's magic about a lot of that, what she does is just believing in her ideas.
Yeah.
And being like, this is good enough. Just like this.
Yeah.
Just like this.
Yeah.
I don't need to add words. I like it like this.
Yeah. She strikes me as someone who's, like, not a perfectionist. Like, she's just like, yeah, this is, like, how I'm feeling right now. Just mm-hmm. putting it out there.
Yeah.
It's great.
You know that whistle break on Sitting on the Dock of the Bay?
No.
You know, Sitting on
oh,
the
Oh, yes. Wait. Yes. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
That wasn't supposed to, that was
oh,
a placeholder.
Oh, my God. That's like the only whistling in a song that I even can think of.
Supposedly it was a placeholder. And then they were like, wait a minute, what if we just keep it?
Wow.
Let's just keep it. That's good.
Yeah.
Confidence and a weird idea. You don't need
yeah,
to add words.
Sometimes those accidental nuggets are great.
And I don't care if I didn't get that Swiffer commercial because I'm a bad bitch, no muzzle. I don't audition for commercials and have not for a long time.
I know, I haven't in a while either.
I refuse to.
Okay, so next up,
mm-hmm.
Backstreet Freestyle by Kendrick Lamar. Oh, this song is so fucking good.
It's a great song.
Martin had a dream. Martin had a dream. Kendrick have a dream. All my life I want money and power. Respect my mind or die from less shout. I pray my dick get big as the Eiffel Tower, so I can fuck the world for 72 hours. Goddamn, I feel amazing. Damn, I'm in the matrix. My mind is living on cloud nine, and this nine is never on vacation.
Start this song is like, vroom, vroom, I mean, he says like he wishes his dick was as big as the Eiffel Tower. There's something, even though he's kind of being like, I wish that, there's something, there's big dick energy throughout this song that mm-hmm. I think like sometimes you just have to have that injected into yourself. And I feel like this is a song that I listen to music more when I'm in New York. Hmm. Like when I'm walking around on the street, I get really into it. There's something about like strolling and like seeing people and like the sort of feeding off, sounds so corny, but like feeding off the energy of other people on the street and like, just the fact that like the streets are sort of like very vivacious, whereas out here it's sort of isolated and you can't really walk anywhere. I mean, you could, but you're not going to like get that intensity. Mm-hmm. So I started listening to this song like on loop when I would just be walking through like Union Square or whatever. And I always just felt really energized. I was staying in New York for a month. And I was staying in Union Square, and then I would be doing spots at the Comedy Cellar at night, and I would walk from my apartment to the cellar, and it was like a 15-minute walk. And yeah, I would just listen to this song. There's a couple of other ones, but I would do like a heavy rotation where it was like this song only for like a full half hour, and then I'd switch to something else.
Well, I think it's also a really interesting choice for this because I think it does the same thing that you were talking about like reminding you that this stuff isn't important, this stuff isn't real.
Yeah.
Like, because he's doing this, like, basically, like, parodying the stuff that rappers talk about.
Yeah.
But, like, you know he doesn't actually care about
yes.
that. So it's still got that energy of that, like, confidence.
Right. But there's a little mockery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of like, the, and like, saying...
And satire.
Yeah. Like, that wanting those things are in line with Martin Luther King's journey.
Yeah, yes.
Like, he's clearly doing something with that.
Totally.
Which I think is, yeah, it's a great reminder of like, what is really important? What do we really care about?
And yeah, having Martin
how
Luther
are we actually
King
gonna
in a
judge
song.
Ourselves.
Yeah, having Martin Luther King in the intro and then being like, I want to fuck the world for 72 hours.
Yeah,
you're just
exactly.
like, oh, he's a genius.
He really is.
Yeah.
Do you listen to Dissect? Do you know that podcast?
No. Uh-uh.
It's this podcast that, every season is an album and every episode is a different track on it.
Oh.
And so they did to Pimp a Butterfly, I think is the first season.
Cool.
On it.
Oh, I'll have to listen to that.
It is. It's really, and like, if you don't think that he is a genius already,
listen to that. And then you're going to be like, oh
yeah.
Seeing him in a new light.
Yeah. I haven't listened to it for a while. I should check back in with it. See if it's still happening. The next song yes. is Bad Girls by MIA.
Okay. Do I know this one?
Oh, yeah, you do.
Okay.
Live fast, die young, bad girls,
oh, yeah.
do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls, do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls, do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls, do it well. Chain hits my chest when I'm banging on the dash.
This was on a playlist before, but at this point, everybody deal with it. Sometimes there's going to be repeats.
Yeah, that just seems good enough to speak to you on different levels.
And I definitely listen to this in my car when I'm driving home, and again being like, I'm a fucking bad bitch. I didn't get that. Whatever.
Yeah, it's a whatever.
Yeah. Or yeah. even if I did, then like it's a celebration. If I'm like, I did fucking awesome. Yeah, that's right. Cause bad girls do it.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to add that. I'm gonna have to start listening to that song. I don't listen to enough MIA, and then I hear her and I'm like, why am I not listening to her all the time? She's so, every song I hear is so good.
Yeah, she's pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's just too much music, Jamie. Just
I'm telling I'm telling you're telling me,
music.
I'm telling you.
Aristotle
Does this bring us to
has
our...
started a thing this year that he listens to a new album every day.
What?
Yep.
Wait, you're so ambitious. That's so cool.
Yes, he's just silently nodding at us as I've put him
on
the spot.
Wow.
I know. He just told me about it today.
A full album?
He listens to a full album every day.
Whoa.
Yeah, so now I have to start doing that, I guess.
But how do you, like, what if you don't like the song? Do you skip the tracks or you just stick it out? Yeah.
Not proud of it, but it was Miles Davis.
Oh.
Okay, so you are too much of a millennial, of a young, you're like too cool. You were skateboarding with a dinosaur and you did a kickflip and we're like, I can't finish this Miles Davis album.
It was a bad day and that is a frantic album.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, sometimes it works. Like sometimes it's like if the music meets your frame of mind or your like energy, it works. And other times you're like, I need you to like contrast how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Support me or pull me out of it.
Yes.
Support the feeling or pull me out of it.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So yes, next song.
Okay. Next song is Promise by When in Rome. Mm-hmm. This one is also, the intro is so dramatic.
So dramatic.
It truly makes you feel like you're just like rising into the clouds and like taking over the world.
I love new wave drama.
Me too.
I know, I could tell by your choices.
It's my favorite.
Me too. If you
need a friend. Yeah, it is the drama. This song is all drama. The lyrics don't really apply. Well, that's not true. I think that, it is. I stick by it. There's not, the lyrics don't really apply to our playlist, but it's just so.
I'm sorry, but I'm
it
just
also when he's like, when you're in doubt and when you're in danger, take a look all around and I'll be there. It's like, I don't know who you are, but,
but
I do
nice
feel supported.
Yeah, so it is a little bit the lyrics.
Yes, it is.
But I also feel like it does have that kind of like pulsing, like, driving beat
yes.
in it. It's
yes.
like keep on going.
It is a keep on going.
Keep on
song.
Going.
Yeah, and it
You're
also has that like
else.
Journey vibe. I mean, truly, when it like starts with wind, it starts with like
those clouds.
You're just like, oh my god, what the fuck is about to go down?
Now I really want to see you in like pumps and ankle socks and like pink and yellow
eye makeup,
crimped hair. Yes,
scrunchies.
Maybe like some acrylic or like plastic geometric earrings.
Please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or squiggles. It's always like
squiggles
and triangles.
Squiggles, stripes, and checkerboard.
Yep. Oh, it's my favorite aesthetic.
Yeah. My whole apartment. So.
Oh, I love it. It's so good.
That would be great if my apartment just looked like a trapper keeper.
Oh, I love it so much.
Next song, Don't Get Me Wrong by The Pretenders.
Oh, I love this song.
Yeah. So again, this like driving beat, you're driving on to the next thing, keep going, you're not defined by what just happened, whether it was good or bad.
Yeah. It's so good.
It's just happy. I also love this. I mean, it's not why I picked it for this, but I love like that Chrissy Hynde in Giddy Love,
yeah,
kind of feeling. It's like a cool girl being like, yeah, I don't know, I feel funny when you walk by.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong is also like, you've like, it's sort of demanding people to like see you for who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a nice lyrical tie there.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, don't think I'm someone else.
Yes.
Get me right.
Get to the core of.
Please get me
this
right.
Of me and all
Do you think
I
that was a
offer.
Draft at one point? They were like,
get me right.
Please get me right. It's
please
not working.
Please see me for me. Please. They add an extra please. Yeah.
I don't want to be too pushy right now, but it would help me.
I'm so sorry for bothering you. Wait, scale it back. Mm-hmm. Stop apologizing.
Yeah, and then she got bitten by a radioactive cool girl.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, no. I know how to write it.
She's so cool.
She's very cool. Thank you so much for doing
this. Oh my God, this was so fun. Thank you for having me.
I think we made a good playlist. It's all over the place genre-wise.
It is everywhere you want to be.
But it will take care of you emotionally.
Yeah.
How can people keep up with you?
Ooh, you can follow me on Instagram at @reallyjamielee and on Twitter at @thejamielee.
Sounds great.
Great.
Do it. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Cool Playlist. I'm Eliza Skinner. You can follow me on Twitter at @ElizaSkinner. You can follow the podcast at @CoolPlaylistPod. You can also find our website at CoolPlaylistPod.com, and you can find links to all the playlists we make and anything we talk about, and our Patreon. We don't have advertisers, so we rely on Patreon co-producers like you. The theme music is by Ross Bryant. The art and logo is by D. Billy at Duchess and the Queen Studio. And the podcast is produced by cool DJ Aristotle Acevedo. Oh, and you can always rate and review us on iTunes. Everybody loves that. Bye.